Our next talk is by Tobias Herske and Hendrik Kaiser, along with some other people, but they're the ones presenting, with the topic of open hardware multi-channel sound interface for hearing aids research on BeagleBone Black with OpenMHA.
Yes, thank you for having us here and for the introduction. This talk is about some piece of hardware, a sound card that we're using together with the BeagleBone Black. But first we want to motivate why we have developed this sound card. So we are working in the field of hearing aid research, and I want to tell you that hearing impairment is a common problem. And hearing aids are the most common form of mitigation for hearing loss. And here on the right you see a graph for how many people are hearing impaired or normal listening in Germany. So 83% of the people have normal hearing, but 17% are hearing impaired. And you can even see that of these, not all of them have a hearing aid. So the green areas here in that triangle are the percentage of people who have hearing aids. Yes, so hearing impairment is a common problem. So about 15 million people in Germany are hearing impaired, and the same percentage applies worldwide. That's a reason why we are also doing research in the field of hearing aids. So hearing aids, they adapt the acoustic levels. When you have increased thresholds of your hearing, then of course soft sounds need to be amplified. Hearing aids reduce undesired noise. So many common noise reduction algorithms are present in modern hearing aids. And of course, if hearing aids amplify, then they also need to do something to prevent feedback. So hearing aids are small wearable computers that you wear on your ear and that do live audio signal processing. And extensive research is dedicated to improve the situation of hearing aid users. And Oldenburg, we developed this OpenMHA platform. MHA is the abbreviation for Master Hearing Aid. It's a software platform for hearing aid research. And the software runs on multiple platforms. We can have it run on a laptop and give it to a hearing impaired user and do some tests, but we really want to have a smaller platform for evaluating new hearing aid algorithms, and that's how we come to this to platforms like these. This is the BeagleBone Black, and developed a sound card for this, and it's called Cape for All. Project partners who made it possible to develop the sound card and make it work were my employer, Hörtech. We are a spin-off of the Oldenburg University. The Oldenburg University themselves, they are big in hearing research, and Hendrik works at the Oldenburg University. The Leibniz University in Hanover is a partner in many projects of us, and they developed the hardware for the sound card. 64 Studio is a company in the UK, and they helped us to develop the driver for the sound card and also optimize the operating system on the BeagleBone Black. Funding comes from two sources. The hardware development was funded by the Cluster of Excellence Hearing for All. That's funding by the German government, and OpenMHA. The software that we use is currently funded by the National Institutes of Health, and they also helped us funding the development of that driver. National Institutes of Health is, a government agency in the US. So first let's talk about the software platform that we are using there. OpenMHA targets multiple groups of users. So the first group that we want to target is just audiological, it's audiological researchers. They want to have easy modules and graphical user interface to interact with our software. They want to give the hearing loss, the audiogram of some user into our software and select how it should be fitted, and then process some example sounds with it and maybe also alter the fitting. And this is possible with this user interface that you see here on the right. Then application engineers are people who take the parts of our OpenMHA software. There, all the signal processing algorithms there are some plugins that can be configured and can be combined to form more complex algorithm. But for that, you need to get your hands dirty and write configuration scripts, and so it's a little bit more advanced. And then finally, we have plugin developers. So everyone can develop new signal processing plugins for this OpenMHA platform. It's open source, and we have a tutorial and documentation how to develop new plugins for this platform. And all of these target groups, they work on the same software platform to, in the end, improve the situation, come up with more, with better hearing aid signal processing algorithms and test them on real hearing impaired users. OpenMHA is available on GitHub, and a couple of algorithms are already there. It currently runs on Linux and on Mac. We have plugins, for example, for calibration, a multiband dynamic compressor. That's basically the essence of every modern hearing aid. So you want to be able to adjust the levels and amplify soft sounds more than loud sounds, because that's typically what hearing impaired users need. We have some adaptive feedback cancellation in there, single channel noise reduction, and adaptive differential microphone. So these are directional microphones. These multi microphone algorithms work best. So multi microphone algorithms work best for noise reduction. These are adaptive differential microphones, binaural coherence filter, and of course also binaural beamforming algorithms. Binaural beamforming algorithms and also the adaptive differential microphones, they can make use of more than one microphone per side. And that's why they usually perform very good. But still, there's room for improvement. And that's why we are still doing this research. Yes, sound source localization is also included in the latest release of the Master Hearing Aid. It's 4.5.8, released late May last month. Yes. Okay, now we come to the hardware, and yeah. Henrik takes over.
So I take over showing you the hardware. So that is the true size, so to say, and here you can see it on a large scale, so to say. And so this hardware platform consists of the lower board here, which is the BeagleBone Black. On this picture, the BeagleBone Black wireless, but it also works on the BeagleBone Black with the cable network connection. And on top, you see the Scape for All device, which is which has six input channels, and that you can see here. So here we have stereo microphone input jacks, and on the other side we have four output channels. And here we have the wireless chip or network connection. This is used to control the interface. And the BeagleBone Black is run from the SD card, which is run on with a Linux system or the optimized system, which will be introduced later in this talk. And so we did some measurements with that device, because for hearing aid processing, low latency is very crucial. So the biggest challenge is that if you're using a hearing aid, that you're not distracted by your own voice because it's arriving with some delay that you're not used to at your ear. So the hearing aid should not introduce more than 10 milliseconds is more or less the magic number. But there are studies saying that in principle, you for your own voice, you need less than like more than like 5 or 6 milliseconds, which is acceptable. And depending on the situation where you use the hearing aid, for example, in high reverberation or high noise scenarios, also more than 10 milliseconds might be acceptable. But so the crucial thing with that hardware and all that processing is whatever you do, you have to do it in real time with very low latency. And this is something that we achieved on that platform. So usually there's a lot of hardware optimization in hearing aids. So you cannot just implement your algorithm in C++ and then it runs with low latency and low CPU usage. And but we are working here on a research device which must be very flexible. So we want to evaluate our algorithms on big computers on that platform, the OpenMHA. But we also want to then take these configurations and setups, put them on small hardware, and to test it in the field, for example, with hearing impaired in in field studies. And so this hardware is flexible in some senses. So at least at first, for hearing aid processing, you usually need more than just two input channels. Like you have at both ears, you usually have two microphones, in some cases also three at one ear. So that's why we have six input channels. And then there are also techniques where you might need more than two loudspeakers in or two in one ear, so four in total. On the platform here, you see on the upper picture, you'll see the codec, which is the audio codec, which is used here. So we have three of them on board to gain these six channels. The codec itself provides some voltage supply, which can be used to power microphones that are connected to the device. Then there's an additional power supply that is a separate circuit in the board, which can also be configured by changing the resistor to set the voltage you want to have in your project or study, whatever you need for your hardware. And then here in on that detailed picture, you see the microphone jack, and you can control where the voltage is applied. So if there is a voltage need, supply voltage needed, you can send it to the connector, and you can choose if you want to have it in, on the ring or on the tip or both. And so these are some hardware details. And the BeagleBone Black is doing the signal processing for us. So on that platform, we have a 1 GHz ARM Cortex processor. The operating system is loaded from the SD card they built in, and then there's additional internal storage. And we can connect to it for getting control over the hardware or over the OpenMHA software during runtime via some network connection. And now we have some live demo here. So what I want to show here now is that one. So we have the system running here on the table. Let's see, where do I have okay. Here. So let's see, is this still alive? Okay, yeah. So currently we are doing a delay measurement on that system, which is running on the table here. So what the system is doing is running the OpenMHA on that platform. So we have connected audio signal to the input and the output, and this is the power connection because we have forgotten our power bank, so usually we can also operate that completely wireless and portable. And we have a sound card connected here. And what you now see is that the jack delay output that we're using for the measurement is connected to the, or the output sound here is routed to the playbacks of the system. And then from capture one of the sound card, we route back the signal in jack delay one. So here we get these 29.3 milliseconds. And now if we switch our playback from the our routing to the other channel, which goes through the device, and disconnect this one, we get 32.2, so which is around these 3.9 milliseconds that we already had on the slide. So this is what we get in a latent. If we do some, this is set up now for signal processing in the time domain, so it wouldn't make a difference now. The signal is just routed through the device, but if we add some processing, this will change the delay. We can also switch to the spectral domain. How do I get to... Sorry. Here we go again. So these are the numbers we have for when some short-term Fourier transform is included. So we need a few more buffers to process. That's why we end up with this 5.2 milliseconds. One open question, at least at the moment for us, is if we route the audio directly through the device without the OpenMHA platform included, we get a little bit less delay. And in theory, this should not be the case. So if anyone has some idea about that, please tell us and let us know if maybe we have a solution. We'll find a solution here, or at least some explanation. That would be already nice. Yeah, so if you want to have a closer look on the devices later on, we have a few with us, so you can also look on the system. So please feel free to contact us and ask. And yeah, now I give back to Tobias, who will tell you a little bit more about the operating system and what's under the hood of that platform.
Yes. Thank you, Hendrik. I'm now going to tell you a little bit more about the driver for the sound card and about the operating system that runs on the BeagleBone Black. And for both of these items, we had tremendous help from 64 Studio. So without them, we couldn't have realized this. The ultrasound driver for this K4L was developed by 64 Studio, and the Linux kernel that previously already had support for the MacASP. ASP stands for MacASP stands for multi-channel audio serial port. That's used by the system on chip of the BeagleBone Black to support multi-channel audio I/O. So it's basically an extension of the I2S. Protocol that you cannot only send mono or stereo, but more channels. And these ADAO 1761 codecs that we have three of them here on the hardware, they also support time-shared I2S, and you can make them work. And the ADAO also has already support in the Linux kernel, so the Linux kernel knows about this codec. And what 64 Studio did when they created the driver, that they basically pulled both parts and explained to the system on chip how are the codecs arranged, how are the channels arranged, and how can we set the mixer settings of these different devices. So this driver registers the CAPE as one PCM device that has 8 channels, 6 of which can be used. We will get back to that later. There are 3 mixer subdevices that correspond to the 3 physical codecs present on that sound card. But the driver also allows for future expansion. So if you want to have more than 3 physical codecs, then it's possible to extend the driver. When the driver loads, then it sets up the codec's clock paths. It assigns the TDM slots, so every codec knows which slot in the I2S signal is for that specific codec, and it initializes some default mixer settings like every sound driver does. Yes, PCM device and the mixer controls are just regular ALSA devices, so any software that uses ALSA can immediately use this driver. It's not something specially made, it's ALSA. And the driver code can be downloaded from this GitHub repository, and it's under GPL version 2. One shortcoming is that this MacAsp, as used on the BeagleBone Black, is driven from a crystal that runs at this number of megahertz. And the audio sampling rates need to be an integral divider of this rate, and this limits us to some rates. So we can have 24 kilohertz, for example, or 48, but we cannot have 44.1 or half of it. Yes, and the shortcoming is that this these codecs, they do not directly support sharing 6 audio channels between them. So, but you can trick them into saying, okay, there are 4 of you, and we have 8 channels altogether, and then you take the first, the second, and the third pair, and no one takes the fourth pair. And so this is the reason why the driver exports 8 channels, and the last 2, when you play back to them, nothing comes out, and when you read them, there are only zeros. Yes. Okay, and another thing that was done is the operating system was optimized. When you usually get an operating system for the BeagleBone Black or for any other of these single board ARM computers, you download a disk image that contains the operating system, flash it on the SD card, and this image usually contains some Linux distribution with board-specific bootloaders, drivers, and device trees. And the userland packages, so the basic software packages, can usually be updated by the by using the repositories of the distribution that is used. And kernel drivers and bootloaders, for these you need a repository of the operating system image manufacturer to update them. Operating systems for the BeagleBone Black are provided by the manufacturer. It's basically a Debian operating system with board-specific bootloaders, drivers, and device trees. And one problem is that this is just a standard Debian distribution. It's optimized for desktop usage and not very well suited for audio gadgets. So we don't need a graphical user interface. We don't need X11. And one problem, for example, or multiple of these problems are, for example, the Jack2 server that's installed by default requires dbus, and when you start it, it requires an X11 display, otherwise it will not start. A lot of services are started at boot that we don't need, and we don't want to pay for them. And the kernel is a standard non-real-time kernel. 64 Studio optimized an operating system for us, so they called it Mahalia. It resembles somewhat the MHA abbreviation that we use for our master hearing aid software. And so this was developed by 64 Studio. They've done a couple of things to support real-time audio signal processing. For example, ETC security limits is already correctly set up to allow real-time priority in audio threads. The kernel that's on that operating system is a real-time patched kernel, and they already have higher priority set up for the audio driver. Jack2 is compiled without dbus, so it doesn't complain that there's no display. The driver for K4All is already included, and OpenMHA is also already included and automatically started at boot. Yes, and no unnecessary services are started. Then you can control this running instance by connecting over the network. For example, the wireless version of the BeagleBone Black, when that is detected, then it automatically spans an access point host. And so you can log in with your smartphone or with your laptop or with any other computer and adjust the settings of the master hearing aid running on that device, for example, with the graphical user interface that I showed you in the very beginning of this talk. So then I'm through. with this talk. We want to thank many people. Yes. So we want to thank our funding agencies. We want to thank Linux Audio Conference organizers for having us here. Thank you for listening. And you can download code from these links. And I want to point you to one disclaimer, that the views that we expressed here are not necessarily shared by the funding agencies. Okay, that's it.
Now.
Thank you for the presentation. Do we have some time for questions still?
Thank you for the talk. What sampling rate and frame size were used for the frequency domain processing?
So this is a parameter that you select. It's not fixed. So now, currently on that system, the JAX server is running with 24 kilohertz sampling rate and 16 samples frame size. So we have 2/3 of a millisecond buffer sizes, but yeah, you can make it larger if you want, and it also works with 48. So far, we tested it up to 48 kilohertz. Then, yeah, this then, so in the software or in the software platform, then you can so choose, so you can then again set the FFT lengths and the zero padding lengths and all this stuff. So this is basically a free parameter that depends on your, or that you set depending on your application scenario. And there's also the possibility to use some mechanism which does double buffering so that you have more data in your buffers and do not lose too much latency.
Of course, your question makes sense. And how do we come up for this number? What was the FFT length? And I must say, I don't remember. Of course, the additional delay that you get when you do spectral processing also depends on the FFT length that you're using and where you place your analysis window in there. So yes, it makes sense, but I forgot what the parameters were. Sorry. We can maybe look it up and tell you later.
Also from my side, thank you for the talk. I have two questions, actually. One is very simple. Is 24 kilohertz like a usual number for hearing aid protection, because people basically don't hear above 10K anyway? And the second question is, what was the improvement of latency when you had the real-time patched kernel? If you remember.
Yes, I mean. The first thing, the sampling rate. Yes, usually hearing aids, as far as we think, have an even lower sampling rate. So, and basically, when an audiologist fits a hearing aid, the standard audiogram only goes up to 8 kilohertz. And also, many of the commercial fitting rules, how you configure your hearing aid, they care for the fact that hearing impaired people might not like amplified sounds at 8 kilohertz or at 6 kilohertz, and might even amplify not that much at these frequencies already. So when we use 24 kilohertz, it's definitely enough for hearing aid applications.
Yeah, as far as we know, so the manufacturers don't tell exactly, but so they do not do more than 22K, so that's at least what they work with. Yes. And the idea in the research platform is that we can also use higher frequencies, because we're doing developments that will run on a hearing aid sometime, hopefully in the future, because now we deal with more computational power than which is available. But that's the idea, to at least do some hi-fi hearing aid on a hi-fi hearing aid level, so to say.
There was a second part to your question. Have you addressed
the
that?
Second part?
The improvement in latency due to the real-time optimizations. So there were several versions of the of the Mahalia system. I don't remember exactly the the settings we used on the first attempts, but I think at the beginning it was like, so the crucial point was to make the JAX server running stable at very short buffer lengths. And,
yes. And even that was a problem when we didn't have this real-time kernel and the optimized setup. So we couldn't even run the JAX server in real-time alone. So
And I think at the beginning we could make like 2 or 3 milliseconds buffer sizes, and now we have 1/3 of a millisecond. So I have never seen such short buffers in a Jack server before. So that's why we think we are really at some optimum that we can reach on that hardware.
Thank you.
Okay. Thanks for the presentation, and we'll move on to the next one.